we set aside one day of the year to celebrate Mother's Day and to honor our own mothers, to honor really all mothers, birth mothers, stepmothers, mothers who adopted us, sometimes officially, sometimes unofficial mothers. But this isn't specifically a sermon about mothers today, rather about honor. Who we honor is so much bigger than just our mothers, and it's so much bigger than just doing this one day of the year. One of the interesting, I've got a couple stories I'll tell you from the States. One of the interesting things that happened in the several years after 9/11 is what they honored in the States and even around the world changed in some ways. We were down in South Dakota, and we actually hoped to go there as a family, but I was down there with my Bible school buddies about 10 years ago now. It had been 05, 06, 07, somewhere in there. And we went to see Mount Rushmore. And at the end of the day, they had a program. And it was almost uncomfortable. At the end of the program, what they did is they called anybody that had served in the Army up on stage. And so out of a crowd of thousands, there came down from the sides, and they had a few people that had been there in wheelchairs, some who had been injured, came down to the stage, and I even forget how it all happened. They had a flag ceremony. The flag came down, and they folded it up. I think they sang the national anthem. And you're sitting there going, oh, we're not like this in Canada. It felt like had we said the wrong thing, we really could have been in trouble. Like it was almost to the point of fanaticism. But I look at that and I go, they chose to honor a certain group of people. They chose to value them in a certain way. And it was a neat picture of this honoring and valuing that happened. And in a sense, it's a good picture for us as well. But we want to take a look at the term of honor. And the Hebrew word for honor is kabod, and it means to make heavy. And it's a weird word. I don't understand Hebrew at all. It's just strange. When you look at occurrences of the Hebrew word that aren't translated honor, Exodus 8:32 says, "But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also and did not let the people go." Hardened is the same word that is translated as honor. 1 Samuel 5:6, "The hand of the Lord was heavy against the people of Ashdod." The word heavy is the same word as translated honor. And then Exodus 20:12, and we'll come back to this verse later, "Honor your father and mother," that's kabod as well. And as I studied this a bit, the main idea is to be heavy, which then becomes wealthy, meaning heavy with goods, property or money, sinful, heavy with guilt, insensitive, heavy ears, or honored, carries a lot of weight. And so to honor your father and mother is to treat them in such a way that they carry a lot of weight with you. And finally I went, oh, this makes some sense. In Greek, it's a little bit different. There's two words, there's a verb and a noun with the same root. Timeo is the verb, and it means to prize or to fix a value upon, by implication to revere. And what I saw in the States was very much they fixed a value upon the service that had been given. They revered, but it's to put a value upon, to fix a value, and a high value. And then the noun is simply to have a fixed value. Of all the people who walk the earth, and we'll leave biblical people out of this. Of all the people that you kind of see or whoever in the world, who would you love to meet? Give me some names.
The Queen.
The Queen. The Queen would be interesting to meet. Intimidating. I would be intimidated. I shouldn't be, maybe, but who else would you like to meet? Richie McCaw.
Mahatma Gandhi.
Richie McCaw just is a former rugby player from New Zealand. Mahatma Gandhi, okay. And it's funny because if we're to walk into a room with a group of people and one of them was a queen, we would immediately fix a certain value upon her in our mind. There would be a reverence towards her, an honoring towards the queen. But that's what to honor means. So we want to ask the question. And it was interesting because Wendy showed me the card this morning that she had for her mom. And it's Proverbs 11:16 was the start of the verse in this card. And it's, a gracious woman attains honor. I thought that was just unique because she was talking about grace and I was talking about honor. So who are we to honor? 1 Timothy 1:17 says, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And we honor God, we fix a value upon him that is great. And he is worthy that honor. Worthy are you, Lord our God, in Revelation, to receive glory and honor and power. So we honor the Father and we honor the Son. John 5:22 and 23 says, for the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Matthew 15:8. Jesus quoting Isaiah, and he says this, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. One of our challenges is, it's tough to be perfect all the time as Christians. It's tough to always honor Christ. And so when we feel like we're failing to honor Christ, we still feel like we need to maintain the facade of having done so. And so then we do so merely with our lips. And I think we've all praised and sang songs where the honor is not really happening. But he invites us. He says, Christ is worthy of honor. Set him aside in our hearts to honor him. Then our fathers and mothers. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. First commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may live long in the land. I got thinking about this morning, and how do we honor our parents? How do we honor our mothers? My mom and dad have been gone for 10 and 11 years. How do I honor them now? And I look back and I go, I don't know that I did then. Growing up in particular, how I would talk to my dad, and I mean, dad drank a lot and it was kind of tough, but I've wondered about how, had I honored him differently, would he have responded differently? How do I honor my mother? And I thought, you know what? My mom was an interesting person. And I've quoted this before. She used to say, I've taught you everything I know and still you know nothing. Figure that one out. I wasn't sure who she was insulting, really. And then she used to say, and I, for a while there, I kind of clung to evolution a bit. And she'd go, I've taught you till now. If you don't know any better, I can't help you. Really? I just kind of dumped the responsibility in my lap. It was great. I haven't done that very well with my girls. I still tell them what I know. I remember my mom playing piano on Sunday mornings, and it used to bug me because I wasn't ready to get up yet some Sunday mornings. And then after a while, I started to appreciate it. And I'd be laying down in my room. She'd be playing classic hymns. And for those of you who know her here or knew her at all, I'd be sitting, she'd be here for Sunday morning, and I'd be sitting there, and Wendy was playing piano or someone was playing piano. I said, Mom, do you want to do something for special music? No, I couldn't do that. Didn't practice anything. 2 minutes later, she leans over. She goes, yeah, I could do this. You know. And she'd sit down and she'd play a medley of hymns out of her mind, out of her head, hey, and just play beautifully. And you know, my dad, there's some funny things because we never were close, and I realize now he probably didn't have that capacity, and I realize his story was of being broken, and sometimes you realize that later in life. I was helping him change a radiator in the van once, and I look back now and I think this should be obvious. And he had drained all the fluid out and everything, and he said, well, get underneath there. I can't do this so well anymore. Get underneath there and pull the hose off. I said, is anything going to come out? And he goes, no, it should be empty. Well, no, the hose wasn't empty. Anyhow, I think he felt kind of bad about that. And the number of windshields that he bought for our snowmobile, without complaining, I still kind of marvel at. Oh, yeah, that thing, that was a tough snowmobile. But the windshields didn't survive the rolls and tumbles and trees and everything else. So. But he never really grumbled or complained much about it. And he put fuel in for me and always wanted to have kids over. You know, if we're going somewhere, bring someone along. And as I look back, I think had he not been so broken, he would have been a wonderful minister to people, just day to day. We'd go camping, and we'd finish setting up, you know, whatever we were setting up. Usually it was just a van conversion. I slept in a tent, they slept in a van. And 5 minutes later, he was visiting with people in the next campsite or two campsites down and just always talking, visiting with them, interested in them. And so it's kind of neat. And as I look back, I don't think I honored him well when he was alive. Husbands, we're told to honor our wives. Likewise, in 1 Peter, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, meaning physically weaker, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. And even in today's world, that thought is a little funny, because in today's world, if we want to do construction, we use lifts and we use tools, and it doesn't matter. But in that day, it did. And everything was done by hand, all work was done by hand. And yet honoring our wives goes far beyond recognizing that they may not be as physically strong as us. It goes far beyond that to honor our wives. It goes to how we talk about them, about how we treat them. 1 Timothy 5:17 says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching. I almost hesitated to say this one. This is a tough one to preach in a message, and so I'm not going to say a lot. Only to say that while this whole preaching and teaching thing is a privilege and a joy, it's always a bit of a burden that you always feel a little bit hypocritical. This is what you should do, and you realize your own flaws. This is what the Word of God says to us, and yet. But the Bible says to those who lead in the church, are worthy of honor. And then Paul, talking about the body of Christ, and I won't read the whole passage. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And in a broken world, sometimes in the church, there's people that, you know, and we talked in Sunday school about people who struggle with addictions, and even this morning we're talking about that, and the mess. Danae was commenting how different the group that Danae went to Bible school with was than the group that Alicia went to Bible school with. And the group in your first semester especially, they were broken people. They were struggling people. And what God says is we give the struggling people more value, not less value. We value them with a special value. And I think again of my dad, how I didn't do that. I didn't. But we have opportunity every day to fix a high value on people who are messed up. Talks about honoring the emperor. And their emperor was not a good emperor. But it's better to have leadership than not to have leadership. We need to value that. Our masters, it talked about honoring masters. closest that we get is employers. Honor those that we work for. And how we talk about them, and how we view them, and how we treat them, and how we work. So how do we do that? What is it to honor people? How do we honor our moms? And one of the thoughts that I had was simply by seeing the value that God has made them to have. I think of the different people that who struggle so mightily. And part of it, I think, is do they know the value and the love that they have in God's eyes? And I don't know that a lot of us know that, just how much we're loved by Him and how valuable we are to Him. And someone has pointed out that what is someone's worth? I've thought about what's our acreage worth here? What's our acreage worth 10 miles out of Calgary? Probably 30 times as much. So what value does someone have? What value does something have? And the value that they have is what someone is willing to pay for it. We understand that our value comes from what someone is willing to pay for us. And their value comes from what someone was willing to pay for them. And the value that was willing to be paid was Christ's blood, His death. And so they have that value, and sometimes we fail to see that. I know I fail to see that. And we can, I think, communicate that to them. And if you weren't here last weekend, I'm not sure who was, I can't improve on what Dwayne Barkman shared about faithful presence. That's a big part of honoring others. Asking questions, not because we're nosy, but because we care. Being interested, being involved, being there. And so I encourage you to listen to that message. Third, we honor people by choosing how we speak about them and when we speak about them and to whom we speak to them about. I think many have trouble trusting in our world and are hesitant to trust others because they've been hurt by others. And so how we choose to speak about people is a part of honoring them. The other story I wanted to share about the States was we went down with friends to Minneapolis. We're walking around the Mall of America in this big mall, and I had a bunny hug on. I don't wear hoodies, by the way. I wear bunny hugs. It's a perfect piece of clothing. And walking around in the mall, and at one point I got warm and I took the bunny hug off. And it was weird, because you'd go somewhere and it felt like I was being treated differently. And it dawned on me that I had my Lucky Lake volunteer fire department t-shirt on. And this was about 4 or 5 years after 9/11. And in 9/11, the towers, there was probably about 200 firefighters who were killed. And we don't do anything like that. And in fact, lots of what I encountered as a volunteer firefighter was just really putting out grass fires. But you never knew what you were going to, and you're willing to go to it. And it dawned on me with the Humboldt Bronco accident, that's the same level of training in many ways, the same group of people that we were, that we could show up to something like that at any time when I was on the fire department. But it was interesting because they fixed a certain value on the fact that I was wearing a firefighter shirt. They didn't know that I was really a firefighter, but you could tell that you were treated differently, and you could sense it. And sometimes this whole honoring people, we don't want to do that. We would rather do our own thing. We would rather look to our own interests. And yet God says, these are the people that are worth honoring. These are the people that are worth valuing. They have value because I give them value. They're valuable because I love them. I know I struggle with that some days, to be honest. And yet that's my desire. And I think it starts with just understanding who God made people to be and who He is. And so we see, and if you take that to parents and mothers, and we see in some ways it might be almost wrong to honor them just for what they've done. We honor them because God loves them and because we love them as well. Because sometimes we don't have great parents, and yet God says honor them. And so we choose to.